This is the University of Cambridge Local Examination Syndicate, International General Certificate of Secondary Education, November 1995 examination, in English as a second language. Paper 4, Listening Comprehension. Welcome to the exam. In a moment, your teacher is going to give out the question papers. When you get your paper, fill in your name, candidate number, and center number on the front page. Do not talk to anyone during the test. If you would like the tape to be louder, tell your teacher now. The tape will not be stopped while you are doing the test. The tape should now be stopped and the papers handed out. Now you're all ready, here is the test. Look at the questions for part one. There are 6 questions in this part of the exam. You will hear each question twice. For each question, you will hear the situation described as it is on your exam paper. Part 1. Questions 1 to 6. For questions 1 to 6, you will hear a series of short sentences. Answer each question on the line provided. Your answer should be as brief as possible. You will hear each question twice. Question 1. Listen to the following college announcement. What should students do when they hear the 5 rings for fire practice?
There's going to be a fire practice at 11:30 this morning. You don't need to do anything, you'll just hear 5 rings. There's going to be a fire practice at 11:30 this morning. You don't need to do anything, you'll just hear 5 rings.
Question 2. A friend is giving you directions to her house. Why is the house difficult to see?
Turn right at the end of the road, take the second on the left, and walk on until you see a large supermarket. Turn right there, and our house is the 3rd one along. You won't spot it very easily, because it's in a large garden set back from the road. Look out for a telephone box. We're almost opposite that. Turn right at the end of the road, take the second on the left, and walk on until you see a large supermarket. Turn right there, and our house is the 3rd one along. You won't spot it very easily, because it's in a large garden set back from the road. Look out for a telephone box. We're almost opposite that.
Question 3. Listen to the following telephone message. What is the speaker unable to do tomorrow?
I'm sorry, I won't be able to babysit for you tomorrow evening after all, because I have to meet my sister at the airport. But I will be able to look after the children on Saturday night, because I'm not needed at work. I'm sorry, I won't be able to babysit for you tomorrow evening after all, because I have to meet my sister at the airport. But I will be able to look after the children on Saturday night, because I'm not needed at work.
Question 4. The head teacher is explaining to some teachers the arrangements for a school trip. Why should the pupils not go to see Sue in the morning?
Can you please tell your classes that they need to pay £4 towards the cost of next week's museum visit? Sue in the office will collect the money. She's on duty until 4, but they shouldn't go before 12 because she'll be too busy with paperwork and phone calls. Can you please tell your classes that they need to pay £4 towards the cost of next week's museum visit? Sue in the office will collect the money. She's on duty until 4, But they shouldn't go before 12 because she'll be too busy with paperwork and phone calls.
Question 5. You're in a shop and you overhear a customer complaining. What happened the first time she took the jacket back to the shop?
I got this jacket here a month ago and the zipper's broken. It's the second time I've been back about this kind of jacket. The first time I accepted a replacement, but as the same thing has happened again, I would really like my money back, please. I got this jacket here a month ago, and the zipper's broken. It's the second time I've been back about this kind of jacket. The first time I accepted a replacement, but as the same thing has happened again, I would really like my money back, please.
Question 6. Your aunt asks you to buy her some shampoo. Why does she need some shampoo? Why can she only use this particular type of shampoo?
Can you buy me a large bottle of my special shampoo, please? I need it to take on holiday with me, because I'm allergic to all the other brands. You know the one I mean. It's the medicated one that comes in a big green bottle with a blue top. The chemist on the corner stocks it, or you can find it in the big supermarket in town. Can you buy me a large bottle of my special shampoo, please? I need it to take on holiday with me, because I'm allergic to all the other brands. You know the one I mean. It's the medicated one that comes in a big green bottle with a blue top. The chemist on the corner stocks it, or you can find it in the big supermarket in town.
That is the last question in part one. In a moment, you will hear part two. Now look at part two, exercise one. Part two. Exercise one, question seven. Listen to this talk by the warden of a student hostel and complete the notes below. She is talking to new students who have just arrived. You will hear the talk twice.
Welcome to Selwyn House, everyone. Each of you has been given a study bedroom. This morning, I want to go over the rules of the hostel and explain what is expected of each of you. Firstly, the hostel has a no-smoking policy. So please make sure that you comply with this at all times, in all areas of the building. The caretaker, Mr. Jones, is on duty from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. at night. He can be contacted in an emergency by ringing 01778-2451. Visitors are allowed in your room until 10 p.m. at night. Overnight stays are not permitted. However, if you would like a visitor to stay at college overnight, you can apply for the use of one of the guest bedrooms. You need to apply at least 2 weeks in advance. A small payment will be added to your bill at the end of the year. The laundry room is situated in the basement. Tokens for the washing machine are available from Mr. Jones. You are responsible for your own laundry and are requested not to leave wet clothes in the washing machine. Kitchens are fully equipped with cookers and fridges. Each of you will be given an individual cupboard for storage. Please don't leave a mess for someone else to clear up. Telephones are in the lobby. They tend to be busiest from 6 to 8 p.m. at night, so please try to make your calls at other times, when the phones are not in such demand. Your rooms will be cleaned every Monday morning. Please consider the domestic staff and try to keep your rooms nice and tidy. Vacuum cleaners and cleaning materials can be found in the large cupboard under each flight of stairs. There's a message board outside the dining room. Information about social events will be put up on that too. There's a party on the first Saturday of each month, so keep checking. There are fire extinguishers next to the bathroom on each floor. And there's a notice on the door of each bedroom about what to do in case of fire.
Now you will hear the talk again.
Welcome to Selwyn House, everyone. Each of you has been given a study bedroom. This morning, I want to go over the rules of the hostel and explain what is expected of each of you. Firstly, the hostel has a no-smoking policy, so please make sure that you comply with this at all times, in all areas of the building. The caretaker, Mr. Jones, is on duty from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. at night. He can be contacted in an emergency by ringing 01778-2451. Visitors are allowed in your room until 10 p.m. at night. Overnight stays are not permitted. However, if you would like a visitor to stay at college overnight, you can apply for the use of one of the guest bedrooms. You need to apply at least 2 weeks in advance. A small payment will be added to your bill at the end of the year. The laundry room is situated in the basement. Tokens for the washing machine are available from Mr. Jones. You are responsible for your own laundry and are requested not to leave wet clothes in the washing machine. Kitchens are fully equipped with cookers and fridges. Each of you will be given an individual cupboard for storage. Please don't leave a mess for someone else to clear up. Telephones are in the lobby. They tend to be busiest from 6 to 8 p.m. at night, so please try to make your calls at other times, when the phones are not in such demand. Your rooms will be cleaned every Monday morning. Please consider the domestic staff, and try to keep your rooms nice and tidy. Vacuum cleaners and cleaning materials can be found in the large cupboard under each flight of stairs. There's a message board outside the dining room. Information about social events will be put up on that too. There's a party on the first Saturday of each month, so keep checking. There are fire extinguishers next to the bathroom on each floor. And there's a notice on the door of each bedroom about what to do in case of fire.
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for exercise two. Exercise 2, questions 8 to 19. Now you will hear a conversation between Tom and Mary. They need someone to collect their children from school and look after them until they get home from work. They have just interviewed two people for the job and are discussing which applicant, Jill or Rose, would be the more suitable. Listen to the conversation and indicate whether the statements are true or false by putting a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the conversation twice.
It is important that they can arrive at the school gates on time.
Mm.
Jill's college is only 5 minutes' walk from the school, which is really convenient.
On the other hand, do we really want someone who is still a student collecting our children? Although I take the point that Rose might have more trouble getting to the school on time.
Rose has a qualification in childcare, which is good.
She has also had a lot of experience of looking after children.
but she might want more money than we can afford to pay. Mm. She didn't say how much she was expecting, did she?
We didn't get round to that, but we said what we were going to pay when we advertised. Mm. I liked Rose's firm, confident manner.
Yeah.
Jill seemed so quiet in comparison. It was difficult to make conversation with her.
Yes. She was much more at ease with the children than she was with us. Mm. She also had some really creative ideas about how to fill their time.
Rose can probably handle difficult behaviour, though. That's who do fight and argue sometimes. And she would be good at making them settle down to their homework.
Mm, it's hard to say. Maybe Jill would give in to their demands too easily. But then again, she was very willing to take them out.
Mm.
I mean, they like to go swimming after school sometimes, or play tennis.
Rose wanted to stay in with the children after school.
Mm.
But she was prepared to muck in and help out with the ironing, vacuuming or whatever.
Mm, Jill didn't seem keen on that at all. She just looked blank when I suggested it.
But she is a vegetarian, like us.
Mm.
She had some good ideas for meals that would be quick and easy and still nutritious.
Rose didn't show much interest when I spoke about food.
Mm.
I get the impression that her idea of cooking is to open a few tins. Yet she seemed quite happy to stay late if we get delayed coming back from work.
Mm.
I rather thought Jill would feel put out if she had to stay on a bit later sometimes.
Yes, I think she has a lot of studying to do in the evenings.
Now, Rose said she can drive, but she doesn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Jill is taking driving lessons and said her parents will let her use their car after she's passed her test.
Mm. Oh, dear. We'll have to decide soon.
Mm.
But let's have a cup of tea and then we'll make up our minds.
Now you'll hear the conversation again.
It is important that they can arrive at the school gates on time.
Mm.
Jill's college is only 5 minutes' walk from the school, which is really convenient.
On the other hand, do we really want someone who is still a student collecting our children? Although I take the point that Rose might have more trouble getting to the school on time.
Rose has a qualification in childcare, which is good.
Mm, she has also had a lot of experience of looking after children. But she might want more money than we can afford to pay.
Mm.
But she didn't say how much she was expecting, did she?
We didn't get round to that. But we said what we were going to pay when we advertised.
Mm.
I liked Rose's firm, confident manner.
Yeah.
Jill seemed so quiet in comparison. It was difficult to make conversation with her.
Yes. She was much more at ease with the children than she was with us.
Mm.
She also had some really creative ideas about how to fill their time.
Rose can probably handle difficult behaviour, though. That's who do fight and argue sometimes. And she would be good at making them settle down to their homework.
Mm, it's hard to say. Maybe Jill would give in to their demands too easily. But then again, she was very willing to take them out.
Mm.
I mean, they like to go swimming after school sometimes, or play tennis.
Rose wanted to stay in with the children after school.
Mm.
But she was prepared to muck in and help out with the ironing, vacuuming or whatever.
Mm, Jill didn't seem keen on that at all. She just looked blank when I suggested it.
But she is a vegetarian, like us.
Mm.
She had some good ideas for meals that would be quick and easy and still nutritious.
Rose didn't show much interest when I spoke about food.
Mm.
I get the impression that her idea of cooking is to open a few tins. Yet she seemed quite happy to stay late if we get delayed coming back from work.
Mm.
I rather thought Jill would feel put out if she had to stay on a bit later sometimes.
Yes, I think she has a lot of studying to do in the evenings.
Now, Rose said she can drive, but she doesn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Jill is taking driving lessons and said her parents will let her use their car after she's passed her test.
Mm. Oh, dear. We'll have to decide soon.
Mm.
But let's have a cup of tea and then we'll make up our minds.
That is the end of part 2.
There will be a short break before you hear part three.
Part 3, Exercise 1. Questions 20 to 25. Listen to the following talk by a college student, Ananda Chatterjee, and answer the questions in the spaces provided. You will hear the talk twice.
Thanks, everyone, for turning up in your lunch break to listen to me. I'm Secretary of the Social Activities Committee. The committee have been discussing the need for decent recreational facilities at this college, and they've asked me to talk to the student union about the main issues. We asked the principal to be here, but unfortunately she had another engagement. Our main recreational area is this room, which, although big, is fairly disgusting. However, because it's spacious, it means there's a lot of potential for changing it for the better. The cost doesn't have to be a problem because we want to get inexpensive room dividers so we can divide up the space into eating, quiet area and space for more lively activities. We've asked the principal about the cost of the furnishings and carpets. We got three estimates from firms and they were pretty reasonable. The good news is that we can get a discount as we're a college. The principal has agreed to give us a budget to cover the cost so long as we do the painting ourselves. About the litter. We want to get a unit put in the eating area which will contain recycling bins. We could have one for glass, one for paper cups and one for tins. The town council wants more recycling in schools and colleges and will supply us with the bins for nothing. As there is no deposit, there's no reason not to take advantage of the offer. We have to ring them when the bins are full and they collect them and take them to the recycling place. There's been a lot of arguments about the use of the TV and video, and it's even been broken a few times recently through misuse. We ought to have a booking system, and if you want to watch a TV programme or a video, you need to book it in advance. We don't think anyone should have the right to more than one booking a fortnight.
Now you'll hear the talk again.
Thanks, everyone, for turning up in your lunch break to listen to me. I'm Secretary of the Social Activities Committee. The committee have been discussing the need for decent recreational facilities at this college, and they've asked me to talk to the student union about the main issues. We asked the principal to be here, but unfortunately she had another engagement. Our main recreational area is this room, which, although big, is fairly disgusting. However, because it's spacious, it means there's a lot of potential for changing it for the better. The cost doesn't have to be a problem because we want to get inexpensive room dividers so we can divide up the space into eating, quiet area and space for more lively activities. We've asked the principal about the cost of the furnishings and carpets. We got three estimates from firms and they were pretty reasonable. The good news is that we can get a discount as we're a college. The principal has agreed to give us a budget to cover the cost so long as we do the painting ourselves. About the litter. We want to get a unit put in the eating area which will contain recycling bins. We could have one for glass, one for paper cups and one for tins. The town council wants more recycling in schools and colleges and will supply us with the bins for nothing. As there is no deposit, there's no reason not to take advantage of the offer. We have to ring them when the bins are full, and they collect them and take them to the recycling place. There's been a lot of arguments about the use of the TV and video, and it's even been broken a few times recently through misuse. We ought to have a booking system. And if you want to watch a TV programme or a video, you need to book it in advance. We don't think anyone should have the right to more than one booking a fortnight.
That is the end of exercise one. In a moment, you will hear exercise two. Now look at the questions for exercise two. Exercise 2, questions 26 to 32. Listen to this interview with a sports doctor and answer the questions in the spaces provided. You will hear the interview twice. I'm pleased to welcome tonight Dr. Simone Jones, who's one of the country's top sports doctors. She has some interesting views on the whole idea of compulsive exercise and the problems that this can give some of our top athletes. Dr. Jones, I know you have some very strong views about some of these very thin female athletes we've been seeing on our television screens over the past couple of weeks.
Yes, there's no doubt that top-class women athletes are very thin these days. Well, they may be fast, but in my opinion, every single one of them is ill.
But don't you have to be thin to be successful in international athletics these days?
Oh, yes, it's certainly true that thinness gives an athlete a distinct advantage. But the trouble really lies with the sort of extreme thinness we see around our athletics tracks these days. I'm a former international athlete myself, but all sorts of internal alarm bells ring within me when I see some of the runners we have these days. The thinness could be caused by any number of things, such as cancer, tuberculosis, or even AIDS. Of course, some people are naturally very thin. I mean, their bodies function quite normally at the sort of weight levels that, in most of us, would indicate illness or malnutrition. In the days before certain well-known models made thinness fashionable, it was always a major source of concern if a girl was very thin. But the likes of Scotland's Liz McColgan are living proof that most athletes of her type are thin not by nature, but by design. And nobody seems very concerned about this changing trend in which thinness is almost regarded as desirable. It seems to me that as long as these people are bringing home the medals, then no one is too bothered. A number of the athletes that are now household names are likely to be suffering from the bone-thinning disease osteoporosis, although it's possible that a series of well-planned weight-bearing exercises can provide partial protection against this. These athletes are risking serious soft tissue injuries and the possibility of stress fractures as well.
Well, all this sounds very serious. Hasn't there been a recent medical report about this and about the underlying problems of thinness associated with exercise?
You're absolutely right. The main thrust of this report, which appeared in the International Journal of Eating Disorders, is that the abnormal behaviour towards food comes after the damage has been done through an addiction to exercise. In one study quoted in this article, 25 of 33 anorexic patients took exceptionally high levels of exercise, which in 21 cases predated the onset of dieting and weight loss. In another similar study of anorexics, almost all of them claimed to be interested in fitness as opposed to slimness. And 60% of them had begun to exercise before they began to diet. Another related problem is the idea of runner's high. Now, this is a feeling of well-being, which is associated with regular hard training. And the thinking here is that it produces a vicious circle of hyperactivity and compulsive dieting in certain susceptible individuals.
But what are the features of compulsive exercise? I mean, how can you tell if someone you know is experiencing this problem?
Well, actually, there are a number of features which are present in the compulsive exerciser. I suppose the first thing is that these people insist on regular daily exercise almost as if their lives depended on it. Another thing to look for is the so-called withdrawal symptoms. You know, depression, anxiety, and irritability when people like this are denied the opportunity to do any exercise. You even get cases where people will exercise when it's socially or medically undesirable to do so. People like this clearly have a compulsive exercise problem. And if you add to all of this the problems associated with eating disorders, then I'm sure you can begin to see that this is a very serious problem.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jones. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch these athletes in quite the same way again. Right, let's move on to something completely different. Now you'll hear the interview again. I'm pleased to welcome tonight Dr. Simone Jones, who's one of the country's top sports doctors. She has some interesting views on the whole idea of compulsive exercise and the problems that this can give some of our top athletes. Dr. Jones, I know you have some very strong views about some of these very thin female athletes we've been seeing on our television screens over the past couple of weeks.
Yes, there's no doubt that top-class women athletes are very thin these days. Well, they may be fast, but in my opinion, every single one of them is ill.
But don't you have to be thin to be successful in international athletics these days?
Oh, yes, it's certainly true that thinness gives an athlete a distinct advantage. But the trouble really lies with the sort of extreme thinness we see around our athletics tracks these days. I'm a former international athlete myself. But all sorts of internal alarm bells ring within me when I see some of the runners we have these days. The thinness could be caused by any number of things, such as cancer, tuberculosis, or even AIDS. Of course, some people are naturally very thin. I mean, their bodies function quite normally at the sort of weight levels that, in most of us, would indicate illness or malnutrition. In the days before certain well-known models made thinness fashionable, it was always a major source of concern if a girl was very thin. But the likes of Scotland's Liz McColgan are living proof that most athletes of her type are thin not by nature, but by design. And nobody seems very concerned about this changing trend in which thinness is almost regarded as desirable. It seems to me that as long as these people are bringing home the medals, then no one is too bothered. A number of the athletes that are now household names are likely to be suffering from the bone-thinning disease osteoporosis, although it's possible that a series of well-planned, weight-bearing exercises can provide partial protection against this. These athletes are risking serious soft tissue injuries and the possibility of stress fractures as well.
Well, all this sounds very serious. Hasn't there been a recent medical report about this and about the underlying problems of thinness associated with exercise?
You're absolutely right. The main thrust of this report, which appeared in the International Journal of Eating Disorders, is that the abnormal behavior towards food comes after the damage has been done through an addiction to exercise. In one study quoted in this article, 25 of 33 anorexic patients took exceptionally high levels of exercise, which in 21 cases predated the onset of dieting and weight loss. In another similar study of anorexics, almost all of them claimed to be interested in fitness as opposed to slimness, and 60% of them had begun to exercise before they began to diet. Another related problem is the idea of runner's high. Now, this is a feeling of well-being, which is associated with regular hard training. And the thinking here is that it produces a vicious circle of hyperactivity and compulsive dieting in certain susceptible individuals.
But what are the features of compulsive exercise? I mean, how can you tell if someone you know is experiencing